Welcome to Lantern Rescue, a ministry program dedicated to bringing light into the darkness of human trafficking. It's time to light the way to freedom. This is Lantern Rescue. We tell the stories, we talk about rescues, and we empower you to do something about it. William Wilberforce once said, "Let it not be said I was silent when they needed me." This is Lantern Rescue.
We are lighting it up today on Lantern Rescuers. We have in the studio, actually, Alan, T.C., Wren, for the first time ever. I've actually get to see them. I know you're jealous, but, you know, hey. But more cool than that, even, actually, is we have their spouses. And so today we're going to explore those stories. Like, what would it really feel like if your husband or your loved one was out there doing this kind of work and kind of what's behind it? You know, it's just a pretty amazing thing. And so since, you know, the first one sitting right here has actually got the same name as my wife, Tammy, you know, Tammy is married to Alan. And so I know the question that's on everybody's mind, Tammy, is like, oh, my goodness, my husband comes home and says, well, I've been contacted by this guy by the name of Mark, and he wants us to go do, you know, and like, can you remember that conversation?
I do remember it a little bit. It kind of unfolded over a couple of days, and it's something that we had often talked about as a couple, about doing some kind of missions work. And I actually looked at it from the missions perspective, being that he was going to be able to go out and help someone, being married to a tactical operator, and the danger aspect has always been there through our whole marriage. So knowing that there's a possibility of what he did as a profession, he could have gotten hurt doing. So it was something that we've lived with and talked about through our whole marriage. So the idea of him going overseas to do something dangerous was not as traumatic for me as maybe for someone else. Because, you know, when you're married to a tactical operator, it's sometimes something that you learn to live with. It's a little different than maybe an average marriage, because you're used to going through, at least for me, I often go through my mind, what, you know, there is a chance that he could be hurt, you know, and we have ways of dealing with it as a couple. It's often with laughter and joking about, sometimes about life insurance and whether it's paid or not, but that's just our way of coping with the possibility of him being hurt in his job. So it was an extension of what we had lived with, although he was in his retirement years when this came along. So it was not something that we had been expecting. But certainly.
Are you kidding me? He can't be that old. I'm sitting there looking at him. No, there's no way. Oh, yeah, that's right. But there's still no way. I mean, you know, I was looking at the wrong person. Good comeback. I just met these folks, so I had my TC mixed up with my Alan, but I got it together. And yeah, you know, clearly what he's doing is just beyond my wildest imagination of things that God could call on you to do. But I can't help but ask this question. Is there something in his story or your story in your own life that this particular speaks to, that like God came to your rescue or his rescue or somebody in your family's rescue that, yeah, like mm-hmm. this is what God has for us, or some way that you knew that this was no ordinary calling?
Yeah, you know, I was born and raised in church ever since I was a little girl. And we were the three times, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Youth group was my world. And I got married very young. And about 15 years into that marriage, I had fallen away and left the marriage and was divorced. And
from
I was
Alan?
No, from my first husband.
Oh, okay.
So Alan is actually, he and I are both remarried to each other. So once we... once God had really taken a hold of my heart and the conviction had set in about the mistakes I had made, it was just such a God thing that we met anyway, and that God was so gracious to me and gave me such a great Christian husband. And then, you know, to blend our families and then have a child together. He was just so good to us, and to know that God could do that after I had screwed up so badly. And it was like there was nothing he can't do, and that God is in everything. And we have this saying in our house that we like to jiggle the handles. You know, if a door is going to open, we jiggle the handle. If it's going to open, great. If we don't at least attempt to go through that door, then it's not meant to be. But we attempt to go through the doors by jiggling the handles, and we jiggled this handle, and the door kept opening, and then things kept falling in place that we weren't really trying or looking for. So when it was happening without us looking for it, it was like, okay, this is a God thing. This is a God thing.
And so when I look into your eyes, which I get to do, and I wish the listeners could as well, you know, I see a lot of emotion welling up in there when you talk about that time. There's really a tender place for you.
Yeah.
And did you have a sense that Alan rescued you?
I think to a degree we kind of rescued each other because our meeting was so unique in that we weren't...
what happened?
Well, what happened was... I had been single a couple years. He was newly single. And he would tell you that he didn't have a lot of money. So he was pretty destitute when it came to food. So he was invited to a meal by a lady that happened to work with me. And she invited me. And whether her intention was to put us together or not, I don't know. But so we went to this meal together. And the strange thing is she was having spaghetti. I just do not like spaghetti. Like, why would I take an invitation to a meal where they were serving spaghetti? I don't like it. I don't like it. But I was trying to put myself out there a little bit more and like, okay, yeah, I'll go. And he was going just because he was starving. So
I could see that.
that's where we happened to meet. And we were just friends at that point. And I had already been through a divorce and he was getting ready to go through a divorce. So for me, it was just like, oh, yeah. You know, I can help you or, you know, just talk to you. So there wasn't that connection at first other than a friendship and just, but as we sit back and reflect upon it now, 15 years later, it's like, oh yeah, God put that together. I don't eat spaghetti and we met at a spaghetti gathering. It just, it's got to be God. There's no other reason. So from that perspective, it's like, okay, God really loves me enough to have taken me from, you know, sin back into his arms and just wait. I often picture it as him waiting up in heaven, just twiddling his thumbs. Like, I'm waiting. Whenever you're ready, I'm waiting. I'm here for you. And he just not only took me back, but yet opened up this door of a wonderful husband. And I won't say that it was always easy, but we managed to get through everything to where we are today. And we're such a stronger couple, married couple today, that when something like this happens and it's an obvious God thing, it's like, okay, you've been so good to us and you've taken us through all this so far that I absolutely trust that this is what you have for us.
Yeah, so speaking of jiggling the handles, I like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like your own way of opening a fleece. We also have Jamie here who is Mark's spouse. And, you know, Jamie... You know, first question is it actually, you know, what would, can you remember that conversation with Mark when he came home and said, I'm thinking about doing this, which I know in his case, he was doing it with another organization actually before he came to this one.
Hey, yeah. How far back do you want to go the first time?
Yeah.
You know, it was shocking, but I mean, Mark is pretty shocking a lot of times with his ideas, and you know, he's just go hard at everything in life. He's probably lived more life in his short amount of years than most people will their whole, like, 100-year-old. But you know, he said, you know, I've got to go where the darkest part of the world is, and you know, I just got to be another God light in that part of the world. And so he started looking into some things. And he was going to rescue kids from sex trafficking. And I was blown away. And he's like, we'll just see, you know, if God puts this together or not. And then a few months later, he's like, well, it looks like the stars are all lining up.
You jiggled the handle and he popped it open.
Yeah, he did. And he had just gone through like Lyme's disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And he was laying in the bed for 6 months, not hardly able to function and sort of like, you know, nothing's going to happen. And then, you know, the Lord miraculously healed him and he was able to do this. And so, you know, I've been praying for years for the Lord to rescue those who are being abused. I had read an article about a little girl who was 5 years old. Her mother had just abused her until she had died and, you know, had literally mopped the floor with this girl's hair and other abusive things. And it just destroyed my heart, just broke my heart to the point where I just started praying for kids, you know, all the time. And then it led us to adopt some children who were heavily abused too. So then when he said he wanted to rescue them, then of course that pricked my heart. And I started crying because I was shocked that the Lord would use him to answer that prayer, of course. And then when he decided to put his own team together, I knew he was capable because he's always been able to do anything. So I knew he'd be able to do it.
So, wow, you know, you've got that in your own family, you know, where you've adopted these children. And so that God has to speak to your heart in unique ways.
Yeah.
Was there something in your life, in your own story, that opened that part of it up for you?
I was adopted. And so I always wanted to do that for a child myself. And Mark was on board, you know. He never said, I don't know. So he actually kind of made that happen, too. He doesn't wait around, you know. A lot of people say, oh, I want to do that. And then they wait their whole life and their life is gone and it never gets done. And he's never been that way. He's always, now's the time, you know.
Yeah, God put that stuff in your heart for a reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, you follow your heart, it takes you some pretty wild adventures.
Yeah. Not always easy.
No.
Rarely easy, I suppose, would be more of the appropriate response. But the Lord's not always going to make things easy that are right to do. And he studied the Bible on this and shared with some people that, you know, even if I die, that doesn't mean it wasn't God's will to do it. Because a lot of people think, well, if you didn't have a certain amount of success, or if you get hurt doing this, well, then you shouldn't have done it. Or if you experience hard times doing this, then you shouldn't have done it. But when we look at the Bible and all the different Old Testament characters who are called to do something, then they all faced a lot of hard times, and some of them even died doing it. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't God's will to do it. And so I, you know, I appreciate that aspect, that, you know, his insight on that and how God works. He was discouraged by good Christian people not to go do this because he could get hurt. And he was reprimanded for leaving his family behind to go do it. You know, and he and I discussed this, and we were like, well, that's just not God. You know, God called people a lot of times into really difficult situations, into dangerous situations. And if you've been called to do this, then you should do it.
So, wow, if you're listening right now, you're probably thinking about the things that pricks in your own heart. Like, wow, yeah, I think God's been calling me to do this, even pray for this team, or even, you know, be engaged. And so, you know, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we haven't even heard yet from Lynn. We're going to hear from her more stories from the wives of the team on Lantern Rescue. You know, it's worth stopping and just pausing and going, God, what are you speaking to me right now? And don't miss that opportunity to go on the adventure with him. We'll be right back. Lantern Rescue is a USA-based organization that conducts international rescue operations for people suffering from human trafficking. Lantern specializes in sending former U.S. Special Operation law enforcement and intelligence personnel to partner with host nations and assist them in creating specialized units to combat ongoing security problems, such as genocide, terrorism, and human trafficking. As a nonprofit charity, they offer services free of charge to their host nations. Human trafficking has grown into the second largest criminal activity in the world, reaching an estimated $150 billion in annual activity. Lantern Rescue has developed rapidly to combat trafficking. Lantern operates through a trained international network in order to rescue women and children from sex and labor slavery, and facilitates holistic aftercare services. They're gearing up for operations right now, and you can go to lanternrescue.org to see how you can support them financially. Well, welcome back to Lantern Rescue. And what we're going to hear in this segment is, you know, what's it like while these missions are going on? So we saved the best for last, maybe. Who knows? Lynn is TC's spouse. And so, Lynn, you know, the same question that we asked the others, what was that conversation like, you know, for you when he came home and said, you know, this is what I'm thinking God's calling me to do?
We had went to a conference and heard at the same time pretty much about it was a woman giving her testimony of sex trafficking, and we had never heard of it before, really. And we were both shocked and blown away that this was happening in the world, And we both knew then that we wanted to do something, but it was actually years later when we actually got to do something. And TC was able to go to Pakistan several times, twice, and rescue. But those were labor trafficked kids, families, which was a little nerve-wracking for me being home because Pakistan isn't really a nice part of the world and most people don't vacation there. So I was a little bit nervous actually about him going there, but TC done some crazy stuff in his life in law enforcement. So nothing really has shocked me. And I would probably be more nervous if he wasn't doing something like this than that he's doing something like this. Because this is kind of what God has put in his heart to do. He's all about justice and he has to do something. And so I would be more nervous if he wasn't doing it, actually. And then we've moved within the last 3 years. And when we moved 2 years ago, our neighbors, and this is a God thing totally, we both still really wanted to do something with trafficking. And my neighbor was working with an organization who is very involved with trafficked women. And so she said, you need to come with me on my next trip. And I have never been out of the United States and really not very far from where we live ever. So I went big and went to Thailand and flew across the ocean and was scared to death that something, like, I'm not real adventurous. He's more adventurous. I'm good with staying on the road I live on and I'm good. So, but I got in the plane and we went over to Thailand, and I got to see firsthand some stuff I'd never been in a bar, let alone a pole dancing place. And we went on the strip there and ministered to these girls, and it makes me want to cry because I saw them. They were young and they were totally vulnerable, and they did not want to be up on the poles, and we walked through the doors and they knew why we were there, and we had bags of things to give them. It was Valentine's Day, and we walked in and their faces lit up, and before that there was like nothing in their eyes at all, and their faces lit up. And they couldn't wait to come down off the pole. And the madam there would allow a certain amount to come off the pole at a time. And they came down and just sat. I never met these girls ever. And I don't speak their language. And they got down and sat next to me and the other women that were there. And they just snuggled under my arms and wanted me to rub their hair and comb their hair, and we put lotion on their feet and we rubbed their hands and just loved on them. And that's all they wanted, is genuine affection and touch. And I will never forget it. And it was like, love is something that it doesn't matter what nationality you are, it doesn't matter what language you speak, you can touch someone and they can know that you care. I want to do that kind of stuff again. Whether I ever get to go somewhere again, I don't know. But TC loves that way too.
So we can see, you know, clearly, Lynn, that, you know, it's fascinating how God has your marriage for such a time as this. But yet there is, like you mentioned, Jamie, you know, this is not easy and it's scary. Because you can't be there with your husband when that's going on. So, you know, what do you feel, you know, when you know what they're over in, you know what country they're in that we can't even talk about? What does that feel like for the wife?
Maybe the same, maybe different. I don't know. I haven't really discussed it with y'all. But, you know, sometimes Mark will say, okay, pray for us. We're hitting in 10 minutes, you know. And, okay, here we go. I don't know when I'll get to talk to you again, you know. And so then I'm praying. It could be 3 o'clock in the morning, got church the next day with the kids or whatever, you know, and you're like, and then sometimes you don't hear back from them and you're just like, well, God, I sure hope that they're okay. I've got to go to sleep for a couple hours so I can help the kids in the morning. And then, you know, you might get a text that wakes you up and they're okay and like, oh, good, thank you, Lord. Now I can really sleep a lot better now. Or sometimes it's the next day and you're like, hey, are you still alive? Okay, good. And so, and then sometimes I think about what if they did get hurt? What if he did get hurt? What if he ends up dying over there and none of us get to say goodbye? Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I can't imagine. I mean, you know, there you go. It's life or death. It's really risky because there's tons and tons of money involved in that. And when people are losing their income, you know, they get frantic and they do crazy things. And you guys apparently have been married, in your case, Lynn, to somebody who's been in tactical stuff all your marriage. Is this different in these times than other ones?
It's different because he doesn't come home every night and I know he's all right, but it's not different in that I really don't get more nervous. That just God has him where he wants him. That's just really how I feel. People have asked me that through his career. Well, aren't you afraid that something really bad's going to happen? And I really have never been afraid like that because God, like Jamie said, doesn't promise that everything's going to be perfect and rosy and safe all the time. And sometimes I wonder if we're so worried about being safe that we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing.
So you get that text, you get that call, and it says, we're going in 5 minutes, or we're going in and, you know, I can't even, you know, if my wife did, I was like, what? You're going to do what? Mm-hmm. what do you pray? What can you describe what that prayer is like?
I think for me, it's sometimes it's just a whisper. It's not always a stop what I'm doing down on my knees. And it's almost like the entire time he's gone is a constant thought process to God saying, okay, you know, keep him in your hands, keep him safe. I trust Alan's skills. I don't trust other people, but I do trust Alan's skills. And I do trust that God's got him where he wants him to be. It's hard when you don't hear from them. And I don't know how people used to do it before they had the cell phones and the texting and being able to just get a quick, we're okay. But usually it'll be a text like we're getting ready to go out. And it's always in the middle of the night. So there's not much that we can do from home except try and sleep. And then hope that when you wake up the next morning, the text is there, that it just says home safe. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's worrying, but it's about trusting, not only in his skills, but that God has him here for a reason.
But getting back to the actual prayer, so now you're asking mm-hmm. God to come alongside of him. What are you asking? Mm-hmm. God, specifically, like, give him wisdom, give him...
While you think about it, I pray for sharpness of mind for all the teammates, for them to be able to catch anything dangerous, you know, be on the alert and be able to catch it coming so they can deal with it.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one episode we did where, you know, there was a man across the street that was in a building that they didn't know about that they became aware of. That kind of sharpness, like, oh, wow, yeah. You know, there's...
Alertness to those things that maybe are a miraculous alertness, I suppose. And also for the girls to be able to be rescued, that they'll still be there. A lot of times they know they're there, and then sometimes they get there and they've been moved. So I pray that the girls are still there and can be rescued.
So, Leona, you know, since you have an experience with these girls, I'm curious about praying, because from what I understand, a lot of these people have been rescued out of this kind of thing, go right back.
Yeah, they feel stuck. Because they're not they don't maybe have education or other options. And so with the organization I went to, when they got out and they went back several times, but when they got out, they were taught how to do something and they have been given some self-worth and I can do this and I don't have to go back into the industry anymore because they really don't want to be in that industry. They don't want to be there. And so, but they feel stuck. So I do, I pray for the girls as well, that they would want to be rescued and see that Jesus loves them.
Yeah, because it's a crazy evil that we're up against that's got way more tentacles than I think any of us, you know, begin to think about.
You know, the other thing that we do, at least for for Alan and I is we've reached out to our churches and to those friends and family. You know, we don't get into a lot of detail about it, but we do share, just like this radio program is sharing with the world, that these people, there's people out there doing this kind of work, and we have a lot of people praying, family members, church members. So we would really covet the prayers of anyone, as long as, you know, if they're down and they're down on their knees praying for the day and they don't know what to pray for, just remember, even if you don't remember Lantern Rescue, remember those that are doing things that are helping others, because it's just really important to have all of that prayer for them. We have a pastor right now who's really supportive of us in what Alan does. And he often will text as Alan's away and say, hey, I'm praying for him. Have you heard from him? So friends and family prayers is mm-hmm. big, as far as our, along with our prayers as the spouses.
So as we close today's show, you heard it here firsthand, right? That they covet your prayers, and they're really, it is a phenomenal opportunity for you to be a big part of Lantern Rescue just by simply praying for the team, which is Alan, TC, Mark, and Wren. However, you know, there's families, right? You got to hear from their wives, there's children, and all these people. But there's some more names that we can add to your prayer list of Tammy, who's, again, married to Alan, Lynn, who's married to TC, and Jamie, who's married to Mark, and Wren's husband, who's Caleb. So those prayers are so important. Again, you can go to lanternrescue.org to find out more about what you can do and special projects they're working on, like we've talked about before, that they have petitions that need to be signed and things that where you can really engage with them in coming against human trafficking. Thank you for listening today on Lantern Rescue.